Money FM 89.3, Best of the Evening Runway. Under the Radar.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3, and it's now time for Under the Radar with me, Chua Tian Tian. It's all about sentiment within financial markets today as we speak to one of the earliest fintech companies in the world. Now, founded in 1992, our guest Saxo is an international investment firm for investors and traders under the supervision of the Danish FSA with a reach of over 2,500 professionals around the world, including in key financial hubs such as Singapore. Now, it's investment platform provides users access to global capital markets across asset classes, while its open banking technology powers over 200 financial institutions to enhance their investment experience. Now, why are we talking to Saxo, you might ask? Well, with economic data out of the US coming in hot in the early months of the year, putting into question the Federal Reserve's rate cut timeline, a property slump in China, and ongoing geopolitical tensions around the world, we want to find out if investors are indeed on a risk of mode right now, and if that has influenced demand for investment products on the platform. Now, meanwhile, Saxo also revamped its pricing structure to lower trading costs for customers in March this year. But how far has that got to do with the wider business environment and the competitive landscape of the global online trading platform market? Well, many questions. And joining me here in the studio is Kim Fune, founder and CEO of Saxo. Kim, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you on board. And Kim, we've briefly talked about Saxo as this international investment firm for investors and traders, founded as early as 1992, one of the earliest fintechs in the world. I believe it holds a banking license in Denmark, in Singapore, and in Asia is better known as an online trading platform provider. So take us through your value proposition and business model then.
Well, first of all, we are a fully licensed European bank. We are headquartered in Copenhagen in Denmark. We also have a full bank license in Switzerland. And across the world, including Singapore, we have a capital markets license. We are a minus rated bank. We are a so-called SIFI, so a significantly important financial institution in Denmark. We have a very high capital ratio of more than 30%. We are currently having around $110 billion US dollars from clients in assets. And as you say, apart from traders and investors, we are catering also for an institutional partner segment that takes care of using our platform and infrastructure to cater for their clients, where we deliver banking as a service and really deliver the full value chain, the digital value chain to engage in global capital markets. Our services are very much widespread in the sense that it's focused on capital markets, but we basically cover any geographical region of the world. We have both stocks, bonds, mutual funds, commodities, foreign exchange, CFDs, global futures, options. As such, you can trade and invest in any macro cycle of the economy. And as you said, we just lowered prices significantly. Mm-hmm. So having a very low cost ability to diversify your global portfolio is actually one of the absolute most important things when you want a good investment return, on top of course, having a good platform and great service.
Right. If we look at Saxo as a business itself, right, Kim, how would you segment your product offerings? And which is the most important one for you, where bottom line contributions are concerned?
Well, right now, the investor space, which I think includes most of us, because everyone needs to save either for a rainy day or pension or house or wedding or whatever dreams and aspirations we may have. And the importance of that is critical. Actually, financial trouble is the number one cause of depression in the world. It's not divorce or war or illness. Mm-hmm. It's actually financial trouble. So being able to diversify is very important. Equities is the number one product for us right now, but we do a lot also. I mean, for example, lately people have seen that the Japanese stocks have gone up quite significantly, which is very, very interesting, because the last time they were that level was in the beginning of the 90s. Yeah. But if you don't hedge your yen and your foreign exchange exposure there, it could be a problem for people domiciled in Singapore or elsewhere. The same thing, US, of course, is very interesting and has a market that is also close close to all-time high, especially the tech sector driving that. But there also you need to be aware of the US dollar. But we also cater for securities lending, where you can actually lend out your portfolio mm-hmm. and make additional revenue, margin lending. But also we see more and more people, especially at this very high level of the stock market, mm-hmm. beginning to sell covered calls on their underlying cash portfolios and so forth. So there are many bells and whistles, mm-hmm. but equities is the biggest single product. But it's only it's less than a third or around a third of our combined one. So it's quite diverse, our product range. Mm-hmm.
Don't mind me asking this. When you talked about equities, you're referring to both stocks, indices and ETFs. Is that right?
Yeah, you can say that of course, the whole equity component yes. Is both the indices that you can mm-hmm. trade either on a CFD basis or mm-hmm. for futures or ETFs or mutual funds. Mm-hmm. And then there's single stocks. But then when we come to things like futures, for example, that's a separate asset class, or exchange-traded options where you can sell covered calls or trade strategies on single stocks. So that's a different one. But it's where the underlying is 100% a cash stock. And then we also actually talk about ETFs as something mm-hmm. different, and mutual funds as something different, and so forth, right? So it's really cash stocks.
Mm, I see. Now, let's take a look at the consumer side of things, because Saxo's platform has been used by investors and traders with a reach of over 2,500 professionals around the world. So we are looking at both retail investors, businesses as well. Generally speaking, which are your biggest target consumer segments, and which are the biggest geographical markets for you where, once again, profits are concerned?
I mean, we have 2,500 Saxonians employed in the world, and we have around 1.2 million clients. And as I said, a combined level of around 110 billion US dollars. So it's around a little less than 100,000 US dollar per client in average. It obviously varies quite a bit. And the predominant client segment in Saxo are investors. Mm-hmm. So we have different categories. We talk about buy and hold investors or delegators or active investors. And the buy and hold people that are buying at hopefully a diversified portfolio in equities, but also it's very important to diversify into fixed income and other products. So one of the things we are doing a lot about is also actually trying to help people have a more balanced portfolio, because mm-hmm. a lot of people are used to trading their local stock indices and the local stock market. Here in Singapore, it is, actually people are more international in the mm-hmm. investment theme, but it's still actually relatively narrow in mm-hmm. terms of being a little bit in the tech sector, and really diversifying globally your stock portfolio is very important for your risk rating return. But also, you do need, especially now, some fixed income components there, depending on your time horizon and your risk mm-hmm. appetite. But you also see gold reaching new highs. You see commodities mm-hmm. being an important factor. The whole foreign exchange component is important, right? So we are really trying to help and educate our clients also. How can they use all these different tools mm-hmm. to have a well-diversified portfolio, whether they say, what should I do with my money, or mm-hmm. whether they have an interest of doing that themselves.
Mm-hmm. Would it be wrong to say that then, in terms of your demand, is coming in from all parts of the world? If not, even if Asia remains a heavyweight geographical market for Saxo, your clients have global exposure.
Yeah, well, I think that is one of the very unique things about mm-hmm. Saxo, that you can trade China or Singapore or Hong Kong or mm-hmm. Australia or Denmark or rest of Europe or rest mm-hmm. of the United States, and you can trade all the different asset classes. So you can really trade or invest in any macro cycle mm-hmm. of the economy in any geographical area of the world, which is very, very important to get the best possible risk-weighted return, right?
Right. Now, Kim, let's talk about the world right now. It's a bit of a messy place, if I may describe it that way. We've got economic data out of the US coming hot in the early months of the year, investors pushing back on their earlier expectations for a June rate cut. We've got a property slump in China, ongoing geopolitical tensions in the Middle East. Businesses are telling us that they are laying off workers at the same time. How would you make sense of all of this then?
Well, I think first of all, there's no doubt that we live in a really crazy world right now, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of geopolitical tension, there's a lot of climate talk, there's a ton of things happening within AI and technology in general. There's a lot of social unrest. There are wars. There are, you know, many, many, many things that are creating a lot of tension. Still, when you look at the volatility in the market, it's actually very, very low. But at the same time, we have stock markets that are all-time high in Japan, in the U.S., and many other places, where at the same time, interest rates are a lot higher now, and people had anticipated that inflation would fall and interest rates would be lower, which has not really happened, right? And then we have a full-blown war in Ukraine with Russia attacking the Ukrainians. We have unrest in the Middle East. So, of course, there's a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace. So I think this is, again, why it's really, really important that you diversify your portfolio, that for sure it's not going to, I mean, to me it's going to be impossible to see Nvidia continuing the rocket that they have launched. There will be other people producing chips. I think diversification is very important, and you can sell covered calls against it. You can even buy protection with puts or hedge your beta levels and so forth. But I think in the end it's about geographical diversification, but also you do actually get quite good yield in some components of the shorter end of the fixed income market and so forth. Right? So again, I think when normally the traditional banks and traditional brokers actually do not offer diversification very well. And also sometimes if they do, it's very handheld and it's very expensive. So the combination of having really, really low prices so that you can diversify without your portfolio being eaten of costs, and then try to create a better kind of risk return portfolio, that is critically important. And depends, of course, on people's risk appetite and the time horizon. But that's really what we're doing on Saxo platform, is to help educate and guide people, and also talk about different themes, whether that is female investor themes or whether it's unfortunately defense right now, which is for all the bad reasons a lucrative industry, an important industry, because there's people that needs to defend themselves, and of course the themes of AI have been very dominating now. I think that personally I'd be a little bit cautious there. I think it's actually more about how people deploy AI technology. And that's going to be the next big wave. Which companies, Saxo is one of them, that are really truly utilizing AI in how we can service clients better, how we can optimize the efficiency of our infrastructure, our processes, and so forth.
That actually has been one of the questions we've been asking our guests on Market View, which is, what happens to AI? What do we foresee AI to turn out to be? Could it be a bubble if it turns out to be underwhelming? But that brings me to my next question, Kim. Are investors in a risk-off mode right now? When we look at the optimism surrounding AI, how far has that influenced demand on your Saxo platform? Are we seeing, let's say, lower demand because people are in a risk-off mode, or are we seeing people shift their demand towards different investment products to suit the situation we are seeing?
Over the last couple of days, there's been a little bit of risk-off, but we're still at close to all-time highs. And honestly, I think that could be more softness in the market. I think it could evolve, but again, you know, you never really know. So I think again, time in the market is more important than timing the market. With respect to AI, I think that's definitely here to stay, like the internet is here to stay. And I mean, that was a similar discussion 20 years ago or something, right? But I think it's more about the application. When you look at some of the companies that are AI kind of related, like Nvidia, for example, which is a unique company. They've seen tremendous growth and so forth, but also they've gone up tenfold in the past, I don't know, three years or something, right? So they're producing chips and of course stuff that is important for AI, which is needed, but I think that there will be other people. There's a lot of investment coming into those markets now for exactly that reason. So I actually think that where we're going to see a tremendous development and also probably a big polarization between companies is the ones who understand how to adapt AI to create a better client service, to be more clever about how to operate their business, how to optimize processes, how to develop faster software, how to build better business intelligence. etc., etc. How to create more bots, you know, in Saxo, our multi-language bots now are depending on the countries we operate them in, and it's still something that evolves and develops literally day for day, week for week. But we are, there are none of the bots that are doing less than 50%, and some of them are around 85% and still growing. Mm-hmm. So the whole service model of how we work with our clients and, mm-hmm. and how we can be timely, relevant, engaging and actionable with our clients and how we can mm-hmm. cater for their needs and wishes mm-hmm. For the future is very much dependent on AI, right? But we are not trying to be the open AI. We work closely with Microsoft. We get all the tools and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we benefit from that. But it's really how you have the data and how mm. you can deploy that more efficiently in your business.
Mm. If we look at consumer behavior specifically, right, Kim, are you seeing investors risk off right now totally in terms of lower demand coming in for Saxo's products? Or are you seeing more of consumers shifting their investments, for instance, from going to, let's say, stocks or AI stocks, moving towards things like maybe consumer stocks, moving towards things like bonds or safe haven assets?
I would say people are still, as you can see, the markets, we're close mm-hmm. to all-time highs on these things, yes. which is a big demand. And we're actually getting a hell of a lot more, excuse the language, clients in mm-hmm. Saxo now, actually back to more or less the corona part. We also did a major mm-hmm. Price change that makes it more attractive. Mm-hmm. So in terms of this product diversification you talk about, that's something that is always on in Saxo Bank, mm-hmm. where we try to educate and help people, because they should for sure be more balanced. Mm-hmm. But there's still this FOMO, fear of missing out in the world here. And I think you're going to see that some of these asset classes that have really rallied for a long time, they mm-hmm. will be softer. And it is a good idea to diversify. But we are not really seeing that as the major trend mm-hmm. yet in the market. It's beginning to happen, but it's not... It's not that profound yet.
Mm. It's all about money in this conversation, Kim, and we really love talking about the dollars and cents here at Money FM. Now, Business Intelligence Network Wealth Briefing had in March said that Saxo reported an adjusted net profit of 653 million DKK, which is around 94.9 million US dollars, for the year of 2023, down from 711 million DKK in the year prior. Now, I understand it partly has to do with divestments, but broadly speaking, how would you assess the latest performance by Saxo? Is it a reflection of sentiment for investments seen through the platform?
No, I think, again, just giving a little bit of a perspective, by the end of 18, we had around 13 billion euros mm-hmm. from clients, so let's say 15 billion US dollars. And today, 5 years and a bit later, mm-hmm. we have 110 billion euros. Mm-hmm. We had 200,000 clients, now we have 1.2 million clients. So we've done a tremendous amount of investment mm-hmm. into our technology, into our products, platforms, services, the processes. Mm-hmm. We have also had a major thing. I mean, there's been a lot of, as we know, sanctions. We've seen also narrowing the scope of where we can do business because of all the geopolitics mm-hmm. and so forth. So we are kind of narrowing the scope. So we had to say goodbye to a lot of clients. But despite that, we are at a completely different level. We had a massive overinvestment for some time in providing literally better services. Mm-hmm. And we also had the acquisition of the Dutch bank, Bink Bank, that we finalized, and now we're beginning to actually see nicely reduced cost and much more diversified mm-hmm. and higher revenue.
So beginning to reap the financial rewards of earlier investments.
I think this first quarter has been a really good one, the best mm-hmm. one that I remember, honestly. So I think it may be the best or maybe one of the best first quarters we had. So I think we are into a different run rate. But again, we have been profitable mm-hmm. all along. The only... year we didn't was in 2015 with the Swiss event. But apart from that, we've always been a profitable company. And when I started the business 31 and a half years ago, we had 70,000 euros in combined capital. That was mm-hmm. our FinTech Series A round.
Wow.
And we never got anything else, right? So today, being a CFA, having A minus, having 110 billion from mm-hmm. clients and 1.2 million clients, I think at least, you know, we're still very, very ambitious and we try to be humble about it, but I'm relatively pleased with our development.
You talked about pricing structure, right, since the start of the conversation. And let's zoom in on that right now. Saxo revamped its pricing structure in March this year to lower trading costs for customers. How far has that got to do with the wider business environment, the competitive landscape with more online trading platforms coming in? How sensitive are customers to prices then?
Well, I think pricing in financial industry is critical because opposite if a lady gets a very nice handbag, mm-hmm. it may be a very expensive handbag, and then that's kind of part of the equation that it should be an expensive handbag. But when you invest and trade, then you want to make money to buy an expensive handbag, and that actually cost becomes mm-hmm. super important. And if you look at the compounded cost effects, it is critical. So Saxo has always been very prudent on cost, but it was also obvious from our client insights and our competitive analysis that we had a too complex and too difficult to understand price structure. Mm-hmm. And towards some competitors, not traditional players, but to some of the new entrants, especially in Singapore, we were too expensive, and we can actually compete with a good price, and so we re-ramped the whole thing, and I honestly think that there's a lot of competitors out there that cannot be competitive with the pricing that they're coming with, where for them it's like just scale, as we've seen in many fintechs, is that they're trying to just scale to get a lot of clients. I think the diversification and the client focus is a very important part of the pricing, so of course it's a competitive thing, no doubt about that, but it's also really so that clients can diversify their portfolios and that there's no argument for not choosing Saxo. I want to remove all of them, right? And I think we kind of removed all of them because we have the best products, the best ability to diversify, mm-hmm. best pricing, best platforms, most awards winning. We are A-minus financial institution. Yeah. We have a great service and we use AI in servicing our clients as well. So I think people get a very, very good offer with Saxo Bank. So pricing is a very important component of that, of course.
Right. So if I may follow up, two parts to my question, right? You talked about simplifying because the price structure is too complex. What do you mean by that with greater granularity? And part two is, on that note, if you're going to be more competitive, can we expect more perks like fractional shares, branded credit cards to increase your user retention?
Well, we have fractionals, and there's fractional shares is is one of the things that's in the pipeline. I think that we can show you very much how easy it is to understand our pricing now, and I think in the past it was more difficult to understand. And of course, communication of pricing is very, very mm-hmm. important, because you may be good, but if people don't understand it, it's not really going to help anything, yeah. right? So I think we changed all of that now, and again, if you look at the innovation and the components of our platforms, I think you'd find that is definitely market leading. So it's not that we need to always find new things. I think we have the broadest palette of products. So it's actually how can we service better? How can we help you to diversify better? How can we help you to understand which ETFs you should trade that are cheaper for you? How can we make sure that you can have the best risk return on your portfolio? How can we make sure that you don't expose yourself too much in one asset class? Mm-hmm. Or in one equity or stock or whatever, and how can we help you use risk management tools and do stress testing of your portfolios and so on. Mm-hmm. But to me, that is really what it's all about. It is to create win-win with our clients and make sure that they can have the best possible risk-weighted return supporting their goals and wishes in their life.
So going back to that value proposition, now if you're just tuning in, we're now in conversation with Kim Fenay, founder and CEO of Saxo. Now, Kim, let's wrap up talking about some recent developments surrounding Saxo. There has been some leadership changes. You've got a new chief risk and compliance officer. At the same time, Saxo Markets UK had a change in CEO this February. More recently, in April, Steen Jakobsen, which is the chief economist and CIO of Saxo, stepped down after over 20 years in the company. What were the reasons behind this change? And if I may follow up, right, as a layman, is this a preemptive move in light of what is happening in the broader financial markets, as with other banks, other FIs?
Well, not at all. I think that, as you said, we have 2,500 employees. Steen Jakobsen have been with us for actually 22 years. He's an amazing guy. He's turning 60. I think that it's not something completely unheard of that people at some point is doing something different. We have a change of guards in the UK. Our previous CEO, Charlie, wants to do new things, maybe become a politician or the next Churchill or write a book or whatever. And John Carmichael has been head of internal audit in Saxo for 16 years, and he's now assuming the second line, so global risk and compliance function, and he's actually the only one who sits in my leadership team of the ones you mentioned there, and he's now assuming global head of risk and compliance. So that's kind of a promotion internally, which is also something we like to do in Saxo.
Mm-hmm. Well, we still have the outrageous predictions every year.
Absolutely. No, but Steen have created a wonderful team, and there are some really, really unique people there. So it's a very homogeneous team, and most of them have been there for plus 10, 15 years. And it's not like, I mean, we want young people to come in. We try to feed the organization very much from having fresh young people. Vera being one good example here, but then also trying to create an environment where people feel inclusive and they get a chance to work with a lot of different and exciting things, and they get a big responsibility, but also a big mandate. And we have a lot of people who thrive with that, and our Saxonians, in the end, the people and culture is the most important part of Saxo. And also, honestly, the part I'm most excited and proud about, because that is what makes everything happen. So it's very, very important for us to have the right culture and the right people always. So we always focused on that.
So it's more of some changes that we see from time to time, no major restructuring or streamlining at this point.
No, I think we are trying to do that always.
Yeah.
And every business should. And I think we are not in a bad place. As I said, we've done a lot of stuff in the past. We integrated a complete Dutch bank where we moved 400,000 clients from Belgium, Netherlands, France, and Italy. Also a big independent financial advisor business. All of that is on our platform now. We decommissioned the whole bank infrastructure. So we've done a lot of cool stuff, and we have products and services and platforms like never before. Our prices are better than ever before. We're getting in clients like never before. We have more clients and assets than ever before. And knock on wood, we want to be humbly working with our clients and partners and our Saxonians to try to drive the business forward.
I see. Well, Kim, I don't want to put you in a spot, but I think I need to ask this question as a journalist, because a Reuters report out on 16th of April, citing sources familiar with the matter, said Saxo is exploring a possible sale after talks to go public through a SPAC merger collapse. And it said the deal could value Saxo at around 1.5 to 2 billion euros, which is US 1.6 billion to 2.1 billion US dollars. Could we confirm this? What were the reasons? Any changes for your investors then?
Well, I don't know who they refer to. I'd love to buy Saxo for that price, to be honest. We don't comment. And I mean, I've been here for 31 and a half years. I'm not really looking to go anywhere. So, but we're not commenting on these things. And I will promise you that when we do have something to say eventually, I will make sure that you will be the first one to hear about it.
Oh, great. But if you said that you would love to buy Saxo at 1.5 to 2 billion euros, which means that your valuation of the company is higher than that.
But again, I'm very, very, very pro Saxo. I have 28.1% of the bank. I've been here for more than 31 and a half years, so I'm slightly biased for sure.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that I think we have an amazing business. I think it's getting better all the time. And my focus and the team's focus is 100% on running the business, and we are not really giving any comments to whoever are close to the situation. I feel relatively close to the situation, and I have no comments. When I do have something to say,
let us be the first one.
Exactly.
Now, assuming operations as is right now, right, as you mentioned, what would you say are your key areas of focus to take the firm through a period where markets, the wider economy, remains volatile and uncertain? What's on your to-do list then?
Well, I can tell you very simply, I have three main priorities. And the first one, of course, is to grow the business and make our numbers. That's very, very important. And we have certain must-win battles and key strategic things there. The second one is always to operate the business compliantly, and it is difficult. We have many places, and there are many regulators, and there's a lot of talk going on, and a lot of political and regulatory awareness around our industry, which has tremendously changed over the past 5 to 10 years. So that's a top priority for us. And then, of course, operating resiliently, having good operations, optimizing the operations, right? So those are really the top three priorities. And guess what? They're not changing a lot over time, right? So very specifically on the business, it's all about the clients and what we do for the clients and why we can win for the clients, and what we can offer them, but also how that will impact on how easy it is for them to get hold of it. So I think it's really always working about or working with the clients and partners and trying to create win-win, because I don't think that financial institutions have always focused on win-win, and I'm not sure everyone does today, but we are always trying to speak to our clients' intelligence and not their stupidity, and we really want them to be very well informed and well educated about this, and if we can do our part in that, we can have long-term sustainable relationships with a grown client base, which is really very, very important, but also keep a good and sound profitability and being a very trusted and secure place for people to place their money, because as you say, it's a crazy world out there.
Yeah.
We happen to come out of a small European country, Denmark, that is a AAA rated country. We're A-minus bank. It's important parts from our clients all over the world that they can feel trusted with their money in a place that is at least for now and for the past hundreds of years less controversial.
Right. And a quick one before we let you go, Kim, right? In Singapore or in Asia, what can we look forward to in the second half of this year?
Well, I think there's so many exciting things going on here, so I don't know where to start or where to end, but I really, really hope that people can... I think it's common sense is not that common, and I think common sense needs to prevail in terms of how people invest, right? We've seen a lot under Corona with GameStop and so forth. That's completely collapsed now, and it was never a good business, and had people applied a little bit of common sense, they would have known that, right? There are other bubbles without specifically mentioning anyone. I think we touched a little bit about, but I mean, there are things where people believe that they can get rich really, really quickly, whether it's in crypto or whether it's in tech stocks or whether it's in meme stocks and so forth. And I think that the sound way of doing it, and this is important because it's the number one cause of depression when people don't get it right, is really to think about how you can diversify your portfolio and how you can do that in a cheap and efficient manner and how you can understand the risk. And Saxo is here to get curious people invested in the world. And we see that people start getting invested. They get super curious about climate politics, geopolitics, technology, business, et cetera, et cetera, which is good because more informed people that are educating themselves about the world will be better citizens. They will also be better investors. Mm-hmm. And then they will probably also have better lives. So I think really, can we see a little bit of more win-win in the world? It would be great. And I think that to me is a very, very big thing. And I think that in the end, people understand that win-win is the only way to take it forward. Mm-hmm. So if we do that, then I think here in Asia, but all the rest of Europe will keep prospering. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's been a lot on issuing new debt, not so much in Singapore, but in other areas of the world. And you cannot continue to maintain growth just by issuing new debt. The debt mountain is huge in the world today, and it's going to have consequences, especially when we have prolonged inflation and higher interest rates and so forth. So I think that can be bumps on the road, but I'm a very positive individual. I think that we have many good things going for us, especially if we remember win-win and try to act in a prudent and good manner towards each other.
Wow. Okay. Exciting days indeed. And certainly looking forward as to what's next for Saxo. Thanks a lot, Kim. That was Kim Vernet, founder and CEO of Saxo. Thank you very much for joining us on Money FM 89.3.
So before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.